For those that don't know, my name is Jesse Huddleston. I'm the worship director here at City Well. It's a great gift to be here. Let's pray. In you, Creator God, do we put our trust. We trust in you. Do not let us be put to shame. And do not let our enemies triumph over us. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame. But shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show us your ways, God. Teach us your paths. Guide us in your truth and teach us. For you are God, our Savior, and our hope is in you all day long. We ask these things in your Son's precious name, Jesus. Amen. Today, I'm preaching about healing. Did you hear that? It's like I'm preaching my own. Okay. So, of course, I'm going to say some things. I've also really felt led to ask some questions and give room for the Spirit to speak. So I invite you, there are note cards in your seats. If something comes to you as we ask those questions of ourselves, I invite you to write down what you hear. And for what it's worth, I also invite you to connect with me if you have questions or stories or more after church or just in the future. I'm open to that. So this particular psalm is one that we have been praying this month. It declares that God is our Savior. And I learned here, actually, that for all the Divinity School people, the Greek word for salvation is the same word for healing. I'm pretty sure about that. So just, okay. So that in and of itself was healing for me. As a pretty churched person, I grew up and was often being asked, you know, are you saved? Have you been saved? And I flipped that a little bit and started to ask, are you healed? Have you been healed? So I ask you today, are you healed? Are you being healed? How has God been healing you? How are you experiencing healing? God, our Savior, healer, is guiding us and teaching us and showing us. God is very much a healing God. And through Jesus, we can see God's ways of healing. We can learn God's paths towards healing. We can hope in this healing and seek to be guided by God's truths of healing. I included the first portions of this psalm, though, because it talks about trusting and hoping. And in this time of discernment, I think it's good to be reminded who we trust in, where our hope is, to be reminded that we will never be put to shame. And to note, I'm not saying I'm saying we. I think it's important to consider the ways in which the collective, the body of Christ is being formed, and not just me, myself, and I. So it's good to be reminded of these things as we trust and hope and learn, all while God, our Savior, God, our healer, is showing and teaching and guiding. Know that healing is taking place. Do you know that healing is taking place? It's happening right now in big and miraculous ways and in the smallest and most mundane ways. Mari Andrew, she's a New York-based illustrator. You can follow her on Instagram. She has this illustration that I saw recently that said synonyms for healing. Synonyms for healing: feeling at home in your body, holding, not fearing, memories, becoming friends with your mind, trusting the world as a safe and soft place to belong, transforming trauma into story, feeling possible again. I'll say those again. Synonyms for healing: feeling at home in your body, holding, not fearing memories, becoming friends with your mind, trusting the world as a safe and soft place to belong, transforming trauma into story, feeling possible again. Healing really resonates with me personally, because I've experienced a lot of healing here, and I've seen a lot of people experience healing here in ways that they were praying for and hoping for, and in ways that they weren't even expecting, things that they thought they were over, things they didn't even realize they were under. And especially, again, in light of planting churches, I think a lot of times when people worship here, they have church experiences that aren't the best. They have baggage of all kinds. I know I have mine. And it's been this healing journey being here at City Well. I don't think that is removed from talking about starting a church, right? If anyone else has come up in evangelical culture where it's all about numbers and it's all about, you know, winning the lost, and it has this kind of narrative and spirit behind it that can be really, really harmful. And I'll say, I often talk about how hurt people hurt people. And I really believe that healing people heal people. And God has a way of inviting us in to be a part of that healing process, both for ourselves individually and for ourselves collectively. And so, again, this psalm, I think, invites us to think about the ways in which God is showing us healing and teaching us and guiding us through healing. That we can hope in that and trust in that as part of this journey to planting a church, but also in actually doing it, that healing will be fruit of what we plant together. One experience of healing has already been mentioned today in the book of Mark, where Jesus heals Bartimaeus. So I want us to sit with this passage and investigate what it might show us and what it might teach us. And you'll hear some of a set of questions that I'll just lay out that came up for me in thinking about this entire passage. Where are Jesus and his disciples in your town? What have you heard about Jesus? What kind of healing do you need? How have those needs shaped your identity? What are you doing to get healed? Who around you resists your course of action? How do you respond to that resistance? How do you respond when Jesus engages you? How do you respond when Jesus sends people to help you? What do you say when Jesus asks you, what do you want? What do you want? What do you remember being like before you needed healing? What's your faith looking like? How are you following Jesus differently now that you've been healed? How are you closer to God? How are you closer to others? And I'll add this, I didn't write this down. How are you closer to yourself? So again, I want to think more collectively, because honestly, this isn't just about Jesus and Bartimaeus. There are several other people involved in this story. A couple of weekends ago, we learned about congregational care. We had this time where we talked about mental health and theology. And again, it kind of opens up what's possible for us together. And so there are several other people involved in the story. There are the disciples following Jesus. There's a crowd of people leaving with Jesus as the disciples and he leave. There are people telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. There are people telling Bartimaeus that Jesus is calling for him. And there are probably other kinds of people around too. So this is very much an us thing. I think as a family community, we get to consider how we show up in this story. And I imagine that it can reflect how we show up for each other now, here. And so I'm hopeful that we together create protected healing space for each other as we come to understand what's happening around us and how we connect and how we can impact our healing together. Like, I wonder if there was someone hoping for Bartimaeus to be healed. Like, I'm sure people walked by and saw him and saw that he couldn't see. And how were they, like, how were they moved by that? Did they pray? Did they talk to him? You know, I wonder how the people who told him that Jesus was calling for him felt. Like, were they excited to be like, oh my goodness, like, Jesus is calling you. Come on. You know, let me help you up because maybe you don't know where to go. And what that was like. Were they doubtful? Like, okay, well, Jesus is calling this guy, I guess. Come on, he's calling you. Like, I wonder, how do we show up again for each other? Because, I imagine they all knew who Bartimaeus was. They knew who this blind guy was. And Bartimaeus, more closely, I think individually we can identify with him. A lot of us need healing in all kinds of ways. Some illness, some harm, some trauma, physically, spiritually, interpersonally, collectively. And it's not something that we can just overlook because it's formed us. It's impacted and informed our identity. Like the scripture said, Bartimaeus, and then it said the blind man. Like I'm sure he was a lot of things. He was a son, he was a person, but like that was the way to like note who he was. And others around him likely described him the same way, like, oh, that's the blind guy. And I wonder if that's how he saw himself. And we can talk about power dynamics a lot, in some of the circles, at least that I frequent, and what does it mean to be othered in that way? To be the blind guy and nothing else, to internalize that. What does it mean that Bartimaeus cried out to Jesus? I think it means that he had heard of Jesus before, that he had hope and faith in who Jesus was and what he believed that Jesus could do, that he wanted to be heard. He wanted to be seen, that he knew what he needed, and he was courageous enough, maybe even desperate enough, to go for it, to not just accept what had been given him. And that takes courage. That takes faith, especially when there are other people telling you to be quiet. What does it mean that there are people that probably knew him, tried to tell Bartimaeus to be quiet? How are they responding? Was it out of their own fear, their own discomfort? And what does it mean that he got louder? I think it means that we can face resistance and opposition, sometimes even from the folks who know us, who love us. Our family, our friends. And we can go even harder for the healing that we are pursuing and not be put to shame, trusting that God will respond. What does it mean that Jesus called for him? And he sprang up, he sprung up to find Jesus. I think it means that Jesus is calling for us and that we can let ourselves be eager when we know that we've been heard. That we can expect Jesus to care, we can expect Jesus to do something and be excited when we see it coming. To not say, oh, that's nothing, but oh, that's something. That's confirmation. I think it means that Jesus can and will send people to tell us that healing is possible, that healing is coming, to confirm that what we believe is not just something that we believe in and of ourselves, but there are other people who are like, hey, come on, let's go get this healing. Let's go get this liberation. Let's go get this justice. It's ours for the taking. I just imagine again that he was blind. So physically, he couldn't see. So someone probably had to be like, come on, let's go. And like walk him to Jesus. So again, this is much more than just like Bartimaeus having enough faith for Jesus. This is a group activity. What does it mean that Jesus asked Bartimaeus what he wanted? What does it mean that he responded saying, "Let me see again"? For me, I think it meant that he wasn't born that way and that he had memory of when things were different. And he never let go of that, that he had faith that things could be good again, or that things could be better in the future than they were in the past, than they were in the present. What does it mean that Bartimaeus was able to see immediately upon Jesus' words? And that he followed Jesus. I imagine it means that God can heal us in a miraculous, immediate moment, one that feels magical, one that feels impossible, that healing can lead us to be closer to Jesus and closer to others. Because I imagine if he started following Jesus and now he can see, he's seeing the people that have seen him. He's interacting with them and engaging them. Maybe the people that walked him, or the people that were telling him to be quiet, they were still around. What does it mean to then be in this new relationship, to engage those people, all while following Jesus? How did he see himself then? Because he was no longer the blind beggar. His identity was different at that point, right? If he can see. There are a lot of questions that came up for me, as you can see. And I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. Again, I trust that the Spirit is speaking, that whatever is coming up for you in this moment is right what it's supposed to be. And that it's more than any, you know, quick hot take that's like intellectually on point and, you know, has the Greek and the Hebrew and all of that. Because the Spirit knows what you need right now for what's about to take place. And I trust that that is more than enough. And so in the coming moments, I want to invite you to just be present, be still, to check in with yourself about what your healing experiences have been, what you're wanting them to be, to see what is God showing us and teaching us, where is your hope? And in this moment, we can declare again that this is holy ground. This is protected healing space. That we can be healing people. And as you're able, I invite you to lay down whatever it is that you need healing for. It can be as simple as a rug burn on your knee that really bothers you when you walk. It could be something that you've told no one about, that you're not even feeling able to even articulate with words.